Me to the second chapter of the book of Luke. I want to read one verse of scripture to you while you're turning there. But Jesus said this after he had risen from the dead. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So with that thought, in the book of Luke, the second chapter, beginning in verse number 25, and behold, and any time you find that word behold, stop in what he's fixing to behold. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now there's something to behold. And what he's saying to behold is behold, but there's a man, there is somebody that's got the Holy Ghost on him. Now, it's not uncommon to find somebody that's got their convictions upon them. Because sometimes we want people to know exactly what we believe and what we don't believe. So we wear our convictions upon us. As some people, it's not uncommon to find some people that have their standards upon them. Because they want people to know where they stand, what they stand for. So they wear their standards upon them. There's some people that have their religion upon them. They have their robes, they have their collars, they have whatever it is, independent, Baptist, whatever religion you are. But there's some people that wear and have their religion upon them. But among all those sayings, the book says, behold, someone who has the Holy Ghost upon them. World of difference. Now, anytime you start talking about the Holy Ghost, among independents and all denominations, there's a lot believed. So let me start by saying my theology may be questioned. I'll give you that right. Because a lot of times in a lot of places, when I get through preaching, here comes somebody that has learned something, and they are going to straighten me out or question me upon something. So my theology may be questioned. My doctrines may be arguable. My understanding can be disputed. My terminology could be incorrect. But there's one thing I know. I know when the Holy Ghost is upon me. I may be wrong in everything I believe and think, but I know when he's upon me. Something don't get on you and you not know it. I mean, if I got all over you tonight, you'd know it. There are times when my Bible and I just have a meeting. The Bible does say where two or three of things are gathered. So when me and my Bible and the Spirit of God get together, we have a meeting. I mean, I don't need a preacher. I don't need a sermon. I don't need no music. There's just some times when I'm reading my Bible and I am enjoying it, it says something and something inside me starts leaping. I could be reading my Bible and it'll say something to me and something inside of me will start shouting. I can be reading my Bible and I'll read something and all of a sudden I'll say, wow, would you look at that? And all of a sudden I can be reading my Bible and sometimes I'll just sit there and start weeping. David said, my heart stands in awe of thy word. 7 times a day do I praise thee. You know what that verse is saying? David is saying, I'm reading my Bible, and all of a sudden it says something that awes me, and I can't do nothing but say, wow, would you look at that? And he must read it quite a bit because 7 times a day, he got in the book and the book got in him. He got on the book and the book got on him and he broke out into praising. The Bible speaks in Psalm 103, it uses the phrase, the voice of thy word. For the word of God has a voice, more than just print on paper. But you can be enjoying that word and it will speak to you with a voice of its own. Such things, I admit, you can't explain. You try to explain to somebody the enjoyment and the fellowship that you have with the Bible. You try to explain to somebody the enjoyment and communication and fellowship that you have with God. You almost sound foolish to people trying to tell them how you and God enjoy one another. You almost sound like you're boasting when you start telling people about how much, about the type of enjoyment and fellowship and communion that you have with God in your Bible. And it goes so far trying to explain what you enjoy with God, sometimes you just sound stupid. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Upon means to just get all over. And the Holy Ghost got all over him. Now, the first time that the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the Bible, it goes back to Genesis 1, and it said that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, said it moved upon the face of the earth. It says that it moved upon the waters. So the Holy Ghost not only gets upon somebody, but the Holy Ghost can get upon something. Did you know the Holy Ghost can get upon somebody's business? Did you know the Holy Ghost can get upon somebody's home? You ever walked in a home and felt the presence of God? the Holy Ghost can get upon a church. It can get upon a church. The Holy Ghost can get upon a Sunday school class. The Holy Ghost can get upon a school. When the Spirit of God showed up, the Bible says, and he moved. You know it's hard to stay still when he gets on you? That book said that he moved. When he moves, when the Holy Ghost gets upon something and starts moving, things happen when he moves. When the Holy Ghost gets upon something and he moves, things don't stay the same when he moves. Genesis 1 bears that out. Things happen that have never happened before on a place or a person when the Holy Ghost gets upon them. When the Holy Ghost moves, the first thing that always happens is light breaks out. You start seeing things that you've never seen before when the Spirit of God starts moving. Upon you, upon the church, you see things you've never seen before. The earth and the dry land suddenly appeared, and they would still be in darkness had the Spirit of God not moved and given light. And for the first time, we begin to see the beauty of the world. Trees, and the sun, and the stars, and the moon, and the fowls, and all the creatures came to light when this Holy Ghost moved. Had he not moved, again, we would never see the beauty of the things in darkness. When the Holy Ghost moved, the Bible said he moved in the time of darkness. There was a deep, depressing darkness. You couldn't see anything. It was dull and void. There was no life. There was no sound. There was no voice. There was no wind. It was not only dark, but it was dry. There was no water. And if there was no water, that means things were hard, and things were difficult, and things were tough. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost moves when there's nothing. The Holy Ghost moved upon something that was nothing, and when he moved on, nothing became something. Don't you wish he would get upon you? He can take what looks hard and tough and difficult and dark and dry. He can move upon something that appears to be nothing. And when he moved over there in Genesis 1 upon something that was absolutely nothing, all of a sudden the light comes on, the wind starts blowing, you can feel the breeze blowing in your face. All of a sudden the water started flowing and the river started running. And the stream started bubbling, and the trees started budding, and the flowers started blooming, and the sun started shining, and the moon began to beam, and the stars began to twinkle, and the birds began to chirp, and the lions began to roar, and the dogs began to bark, and the cats began to meow, and the mountains woke up, and the canyon split up, man got up, and the woman showed up. Don't tell me things don't happen when the Holy Ghost moves. The life does not remain the same when the Holy Ghost moves. Wouldn't you like for him to get on this service? I mean, just get upon it. I'd like for him to get upon this sermon. I'd like to see him just get upon somebody. When I was a boy, we had a huge fence row, a fence line that ran around the orphan's home that we were raised in. The old man that raised us, he hated weeds. Oh, my God, did he hate weeds. He hated weeds in the flower beds. He hated weeds in the cornfield. He hated weeds growing up on the fence line. And he taught us growing up to hate weeds. And we were hoeing this fence line, and back then, we were the weed eaters. They didn't have gas-powered weed eaters. They didn't have cord weed eaters. They had boy weed eaters. We were the weed eaters. And so we all had these hoes, and we're going down this fence line, and we're cleaning out all the grass. And all of a sudden, I stuck my hoe into a bumblebee's nest. They got upon me. The first thing that I did when they got upon me, I began to move. I began to move upon the face of this earth. Life was totally dull. There was nothing going on. It was dull. There was nothing happening until them bees got upon me. I began to move, and then I began to shout. I began to shout. I began to run. My arms was in the air. I began to do things that I hadn't been doing. I began to do things that I hadn't quite ever done before. And then I caught myself telling everybody, they're here. And you know what them bees did? They got on me, and they began to get on everybody else. Once they got in the air, them bees got on them. And you know what they began to do? They began to run and shout. And we were looking for water. We would dive. We dove into those water troughs, the horse trough and the cow trough, and then bees would come down on that water and try to drown us. We would come up, and they would dive down. We'd go underwater, and we were bobbing like apples in that water trough to try to keep them bees from stinging us to death. And I still bear in my body the marks. And if the Holy Ghost ever gets upon you, you'll begin to do things that you don't normally do. When he moves upon a service, all of a sudden that service comes alive. Boy, he can resurrect a dead service. That's his business, to resurrect dead things and dark things and dry things. That's what he does. When the Holy Ghost gets upon a service, all of a sudden the pews, you hear the sounds like wind chimes. I mean, there's a noise that'll move through a service. When that Holy Ghost comes, all of a sudden the pulpit becomes a fountain of life. And the water begins to flow down into the dark, dry souls of people. When that Holy Ghost moves upon a service, the preacher becomes a creator of a world of words. For the Bible said they marveled at his words. Listen, a preacher can get up here, and if the Holy Ghost gets upon the sermon, you'll sit there and marvel at the words that are being spoken. When the Holy Ghost gets upon the service, prayers begin to fly to that throne so easy. It is so easy to pray when the Holy Ghost gets upon the service. Those words, that heart opens up, and those words flow so easily. Pages turning in the Bible sounds like the flutter of angels' wings. Sounds like the heavenly host has come upon a service. Preaching sounds like the tongue of many angels. I preached before when the Holy Ghost was upon me. And that word, again, upon, just means to be possessed. And all of a sudden you begin to see dead things come alive. But then I preached when he wasn't on me. And it's almost like being sentenced to hard labor. It's almost like trying to push a car up a hill all by yourself. And your mouth is hunting for words because your brain's done froze up. I've been in my Bible. I've been reading my Bible when the Holy Ghost come upon me. And all of a sudden you find yourself exploring a world that's unseen. It's like taking a light down into the maze of dark chambers. And all of a sudden you start finding treasures and nuggets and words, and you find things that are unseen. But I've been reading my Bible when he wasn't upon me, and the words just seem to move in slow motion. Dark and deep and void. Nothing moves. Nothing's alive. I've listened to music when the Holy Ghost was upon me. And that music, it'll flow like a river, and all of a sudden that water will just become to kind of wash plumb out your eyes. When Brother Eric and his family got up here singing this morning, did you feel that river just flow through here? That Holy Ghost just got upon that. But listen, I've listened to music when he wasn't upon me. And it's like a dull echo of a canyon down in your soul. I've prayed when he was upon me. And at such times when that Holy Ghost comes, when you're praying, you start begging him not to leave. You ever caught yourself when he comes and he's so real, you say, Lord, oh, don't leave. Do something that will make me different when you leave. But then I've prayed when he wasn't upon me, and it's just like talking to yourself, much speaking. I've been doing nothing at times, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just get upon you. You ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost get in the car with you? You ever been just by yourself somewhere, and all of a sudden you just feel that presence of the Spirit of God just come? I preached in Indianapolis, Indiana one time, And all week long, God never showed up one time. I don't know what kind of problem was going on. But I worked so hard, and I got so weary and so beaten down and so discouraged. And so when I left, I just felt like I had done nothing at all for God. And on the airplane coming home, the Holy Ghost decided to get upon me in the airplane. And why he got upon me, and I just began to weep uncontrollably. And the airline stewardess are coming down the aisle saying, "Sir, are you all right? Can I help you? Is there anything we can do?" And I'm trying to tell him, but I'm blubbering. And the Holy Ghost just got upon me at those weird. But I've been in services when the Holy Ghost got upon it. When the Holy Ghost gets upon a service, you watch people start grabbing their pens and writing in their Bible. You know why? Because the light's been turned on and they see things that they hadn't seen before. The sounds of saints could be heard afar off. But I've been in a service when the Holy Ghost was not there. And the Timex moves so slow, and the church is in the midst of a funeral. But then there's times in my life when I just wish the Holy Ghost would come and get upon me. In Luke chapter 2, there wasn't much going on in the temple that day. Just the usual sacrifices. People were coming in. People were going out. It was the same old, same old. Nothing unusual was going on. Just the usual sermons. They were quoting, the priest was quoting from the words of Moses, that like they had been doing every Sabbath. See, it was the same old service, just the same old usual songs. They were singing the same songs, the same Psalms of David that they'd always been singing. Same usual scriptures were being read from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. But then all of a sudden, one man come into that service that had the Holy Ghost on him. One man brought that Holy Ghost in that service. One man brought life into that service. One man brought light into that service. And they began to see things that they had never seen before. He came in, they began to hear things they had never heard before because they marveled at those things that were spoken. People walked in that day and were in that service and would walk out never forgetting the things they had seen and the things they had heard. If you ever get in a service where the Holy Ghost gets upon it, you never forget a service like that. You can refer back to it years and years later. I was in that service, and they'll begin to tell you things that they saw and that they heard. If anyone knows anybody that's got the Holy Ghost on them, we'll take a recess. Go get them. Bring them in. We need them. We need somebody. Remember when Samuel went up to the house of Jesse looking for David? And he went through all those sons and he said, "The Lord doesn't like this and the Lord doesn't like that." He said, "You got anybody else?" He said, "Well, we got one." He said, "Go fetch him. We'll not sit down till he comes hither." That's like the Holy Ghost. Listen. Go fetch him, we'll not stop singing till he comes hither. Go fetch him, we'll not stop praying till he comes hither. Go fetch him, we'll not stop preaching till he comes hither. What we want more than anything tonight, this week, is for the Holy Ghost to come upon us, upon this revival, upon this service. We want the Holy Ghost to come. So when the week's over, we can say, "I saw things I've never seen before. I've heard things I've never heard before." So I began to look at Simeon, and I said, where did he get the Holy Ghost upon him? And how did he get the Holy Ghost upon him? And when did he get the Holy Ghost upon him? What was he doing to get the Holy Ghost upon him? The Bible says that Holy Ghost was upon him before he came into the temple. The Holy Ghost was upon him before he ever walked in that front door. He didn't come in and get the Holy Ghost on him. It was on him when he got there. That Holy Ghost was upon him before the sacrifices were ever laid upon the altar. The Holy Ghost was upon him before the sermon was ever preached. The Holy Ghost was upon him before the songs were ever sung. The Holy Ghost was upon him before the scriptures were ever read. So how did he get the Holy Ghost upon him? Here's what I believe. In verse 29, it says, according to thy word. You see, Simeon got in the word, and the word got in Simeon. Simeon got on the word, and the word got on Simeon. Now, here's exactly what I believe. I believe Simeon got up that morning to have his morning devotion, and he turned over to the book of Malachi, and he was reading Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 that morning, and it says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And when Simeon read that verse, something alive got on him. The spirit of that word got upon Simon. And Simon came into that service with the Holy Ghost upon him. Now, the reason why I believe that is because the day that I went to church, back 32 years ago, when I walked in that service and sat down in that service, that preacher got up and opened up that Bible to the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. He began to read from that word. He began to preach from that chapter. And can I tell you, the Holy Ghost got upon me. Not only then, but I can remember in March of 1984, I was in a service when that verse from Luke chapter 14 and verse 21 come alive, and it was quoted, and it said, the Lord said, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the halt, the blind, the lame, and the poor." And God, with that verse, the Holy Ghost got upon me, and for the next 15 years down in the streets of Houston, everything that I needed, I'm telling you, God provided for it many times before I even asked for it. And then 4 years ago, I'm wrestling with, my wife and I were dating, and I'm trying to say, "Lord, do you want me to marry her? Are you sure this is what you want?" And I'm trying to figure out, just exactly the mind of God. And I wanted to know. I wanted to marry her, but I wanted God to let me know He wanted me to marry her. So I said, and I had wrestled and prayed, and finally I took my Bible and opened it up to the book of Matthew. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to lay this Bible on this bed, and I'm going to start reading it, and you're going to have to tell me what to do." And I began to read that book of Matthew, and when I got over there to that verse that said, the Lord said, "Take unto thee Mary, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for this thing is of the Holy Ghost," I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost got on upon me. And it's been 5 years, and we're still enjoying the good ride. And so what I'm saying is, the Scriptures are the access of the Holy Ghost. You begin your day with Scriptures, you're allowing the Holy Ghost to move in your life. When you begin your school with Scriptures, you're allowing the Holy Ghost to move in your schools. I can remember the day in 1963 as a sophomore in high school. I can remember when the principal came on the loudspeaker and said, "The Supreme Court has ruled that we can no longer read Scripture and start our day with prayer." And from that day, the Supreme Court said you couldn't. Now, whether they do that, many places still do, I understand. But that day, when they took the Scriptures out of school, can I tell you, they ceased to allow the Holy Ghost to move in our schools. Your home ought to begin with Scriptures, because you're allowing the Holy Ghost to move when those Scriptures are read. A man and a wife ought to read those Scriptures together. You are allowing the Holy Ghost to move. And when you do not read those Scriptures together, can I say, you're hindering the Spirit of God from working in your life? He has always moved in accordance with the Word of God. So when the Holy Ghost comes, three things happen that you find here in the life of Simeon. The first thing that you'll find when that Holy Ghost comes, you'll see Jesus. Because you see, Jesus said in the book of John, he said, "The Holy Ghost shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me." You will find Jesus. When that Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will find Jesus in a service. You'll see him when nobody else does. Jesus is in that service, And there's other people in that service, but don't nobody else see him but Simeon, because Simeon's got the Holy Ghost on him. You get the Holy Ghost on him, you'll see Jesus in a service. Jesus came in and nobody recognized him. And I think sometimes the Lord comes into our services and people don't recognize him. You ever seen the Spirit of God move and half the church will shout and the other half will sit still? But you ever get the Holy Ghost on you, you'll see him in the service. When he comes into service, you'll see him in the songs. All of a sudden, those songs will be a singing, and all of a sudden, them tears will fill up in your eyes, and that Holy Ghost will settle upon you. That heart will fill up. That voice will lift up. Those hands will raise up. That soul will move up. And all of a sudden, at that time, faith becomes stronger than sight, because you're seeing him that's invisible, because that Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll find Jesus in the service. You'll find him in the songs. But you'll find him in the sermons. That preacher can get up there and start preaching about a pardon for sins, and it won't move you one bit. But if the Holy Ghost ever gets upon you and he's preaching on a pardon for sins, you'll look and you'll say, whoa, that's my pardon that he's preaching about. He'll get to preaching about the pains of Calvary, and they won't move you one bit. But if that Holy Ghost ever gets upon you, and you look up, you'll say, those are for my pains that he suffered for. That Holy Ghost moves and gets upon you, and he starts preaching about that precious blood, and it doesn't move you one bit. But if that Holy Ghost ever gets upon you, you'll realize that it was that blood that cleansed your sins away, and that it washed you clean, and that it gave you life, and it brought you here and bought your salvation. When that Holy Ghost gets upon you and he gets to preaching about Jesus coming, the Prince of Peace coming again, what, nobody gets excited. But can I tell you, if that Holy Ghost ever gets upon you and he preaches about Jesus coming again, it'll get you so excited, because you'll say, oh, he's coming for me. If the Holy Ghost comes, you'll see Jesus in the service. The second thing that'll happen is that it'll get on somebody else. Now, that Bible said that Anna was serving God night and day for years. And she departed not from that temple. But she, like Simeon, was also waiting for the consolation of Israel. That consolation was for the comfort and for the soothing of grief in her life. But when Simeon came in with the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost got upon Anna. And all of a sudden, Anna sees him. And all of a sudden, instantly, when that Holy Ghost got upon her, she began to give thanks because she saw Christ. And she began to speak to everybody who he was and what she had seen. And if you ever get the Holy Ghost on you and you bring him in, can I say, it won't be long he'll get on somebody else. And the third thing that'll happen when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll see that salvation is in a person. Simeon realized that it wasn't on that altar with all them sacrifices. Simeon realized it wasn't in the blood that was being shed from all those animals. Simeon realized that it wasn't in the ceremonies. It wasn't in the water, the sprinkling and the washing and the baptism. He saw that salvation wasn't even in the hands of the priest. That salvation was not in the righteousness which he had done. That salvation was not in the temple itself. But Simeon turned when that Holy Ghost was upon him, and he says, my eyes have seen thy salvation. And he picked that baby up and looked into the face of that baby and realized that salvation was in a person, and a person only. My hands have touched. My heart has felt. There's no other name under heaven given us whereby we must be saved. Years ago, I don't know if you remember here, just a few years ago, they executed the first woman in Texas, Carla Faye Tucker. Carla Faye Tucker in 1983, her and a boy by the name of Daniel Garrett. I got on the elevator with her back in 1984 before she got her death sentence. And rode it up to the top floor in Harris County Jail. Carla Faye Tucker and Danny Garrett went into an apartment where Deborah Thornton and Jerry Dean were, and they pickaxed them to death. The next day, they begin to brag about it to friends in the city. And Carla had a sister named Carrie. And Carrie went to J.C. Mosier, a Houston police officer that time, and still in the service today. She went to him and she said, "Officer Mosier," because he knew all them kids, he said, "I know who killed Deborah Thornton and Jerry Dean." He said, "It was my sister." And Mosier said, "Well, I can't arrest her just upon your word. I've got to have more proof than that." So she was dating David Garrett, who was the brother of Daniel Garrett, who had gone into the apartment and killed them two people. So they pulled this van up in front of these apartments, this police van, and they wired up David Garrett to go up into that apartment. And they said, "You just go up there and get them to talking. And when they confess what they've done, we'll come up there and arrest them." When David Garrett stepped outside that police van in front of that apartment, J.C. Mosier looked into his face and he saw the fear. And the fear was that David knew that those two kids were killers and that they could kill him. And Mosier said, "Are you scared?" And David said, "I'm scared." He said, "I'm going to give you a code word. And if you get up in that apartment, and you get fearful for your life, and you want somebody to rescue, all you've got to do is just say the code word, and I'll break that door down, and I'll come in and save you and rescue you." And David Garrett said, "Well, what's the code word?" And J.C. Mosier looked at him, and he said, "Jesus Christ." He said, "If you get in that apartment, and things start going down, and you need somebody to rescue you and save you, you just say the name Jesus Christ, and we'll break that door down and save you." If the Holy Ghost ever gets upon you, you're going to realize that Jesus Christ is heaven's code word. That anytime you need assistance to be saved, to be rescued and helped, all you got to do is just breathe that word. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God will move out of heaven in your behalf. What you and I need more than anything tonight is for the Holy Ghost to be upon us this week. Things will never be the same in our life if He'll just come. If you'll pray and read your Bible and come seeking Him, it's unbelievable what God might do for us this week. Piano player, would you come and would you bow your heads with me this evening? Can I ask you this evening, wouldn't you be like Simeon? Wouldn't you want the Holy Ghost to come upon you and bring Him to this service long before the preacher gets in the pulpit, long before the songs are ever sung, for you to have the Spirit of God dwelling richly, deeply in your heart and on your life? The Bible said, Jesus said, "If you ask for the Holy Spirit, would I give you a scorpion?" He said, "If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you think I'd give you an egg? But if you come asking Him for the Spirit of God, you might be surprised what He might do for you." Lord, I sure do want you. I sure do need you. And I ask you to touch me and feel me and get upon me. You'll have the power to do what's impossible. Have the power to be a witness in your home, on the job, in the church. The Spirit of God is our strength and our power from heaven. It's not something mystical and magical. It's just something that God gives for His children when He saves them. How do we accomplish anything for God if the Holy Ghost don't help us?
Psalm 10. Turn over to 155.
Do you want him in your life? Do you want him to have control? He is given for our benefit. We cannot live the Christian life effectively. We can't. Without the Holy Ghost. It can't be done. It won't be done. Choice is simple. Either you're going to live your life your way, or you'll ask God to lead and guide. Whoever you want to be in the driver's seat, so we'll take the driver's seat. Spirit of God will move, folks. He moves in dark places. He moves when there's no activity. He moves when, well, he moves when there's a job that needs to be done. And we need that. I need that. I'll acknowledge it. I need the Spirit of God. And I don't want to live the Christian life. I don't want to pastor a church in my own power. I'd just soon be a Walmart greeter than to try and do the work of the Lord in the power of the flesh. And we need that. We need that individually. We need that in every element of ministry that we have here. Everything has got to be done through the power of God. Wouldn't it be nice to have the Spirit of God upon this church? Wouldn't it be great to see the Spirit of God move out through the community? Periodically, we go out and when we encounter someone, we knock on a door, and we've actually had people say to us, I've been waiting for you. This is an answer to prayer. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God moving out there before us. That's what we want. That's what we need. And without it, folks, oh, we can go through the motions. We can. But anything that's accomplished will just be accomplished in the flesh. And we'll have our reward. We'll have our reward. But wouldn't it be better to lay up treasure in heaven? I mean, we could mess it up. It could rust up and corrode and get stolen. If it's just laid up down here, why not lay it up there? You know how we lay it up there? Do it in the power of God. Do it in the Spirit of God. Well, have thine own way. But I'm afraid that more often than not, the majority of people that sing that song don't really mean it. It's just a song. It's just a song. We offer lip service to God having his way in our lives. And we need to lay down our weapons, empty our hands. And as some have done tonight, and there's still opportunity for anyone to do, cry out to God and say, have thine own way. I need the power of God in my life. I would venture a guess that inasmuch as it was easily recognizable that the Holy Ghost was upon Simeon, contrary-wise, I would also imagine that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, that also is noticeable. Right? Oh, I'm not saying we ought to go around and announce that from the rooftops. Brother or sister or so-and-so, they don't have the Holy Ghost on them, that's for sure. But what about answering that question for yourself tonight? Do you have the Holy Ghost on you? Well, sometimes. Well, when you don't, what have you done? What are you not doing? Would you like him? Would you like him? Then ask. You have not, because you ask not. Do you think he would withhold any good thing from his children? Particularly do you think he's going to hold back the Spirit of God from us if that's what we desire? I don't think he will. I think he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour him out. And when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, oh, it'll be evident. It'll be evident. But we need to want it. While George and Marilyn continue to pray here, I figure the Spirit of God is moving. Right? Now, for me to end it, that'd be like me getting in the way of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, I'm not going to do that. I can spend all night here. And I'll keep going. I mean, if it was another kind of message, maybe, you know. I'd say, go on home, folks. But if the Spirit, if we're preaching about the Spirit of God moving, the Spirit of God is moving, I'm not getting in his way. Yeah. Last thing in the world I want to do is get run over by the Spirit of God. I'm no match for him. Wouldn't it be great to have the Spirit of God run through here? Run up and down the aisles, grab a hold of folks, just hold them up nice, close and tight, take off with them. Every now and then, folks, I like to listen to Brother Dan. He has a way with words. He gets this picture thing going on. You notice that? And it's good to do that. It's good to do that. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love him. That's not in the future, folks. That's right here, right now. And there's nothing wrong with letting your mind just kind of go. Letting God just take you to places. Zoom you out past, you know. Get you out of this world zone. Get you into the spiritual zone. Get you in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so I trust that the Holy Spirit of God spoke tonight. And that he got a hold of you. Don't let him go. Don't let him go. Hang on to him. Put a death grip on him. Amen? Remember Jacob? I'm not letting you go. Well, if you ever sense you and God getting together and you sense the power of God on you, don't let him go. Don't let that go. Do whatever you can to keep it going. We look forward to being back tomorrow night. Invite somebody. If at all possible, we all need to be here. Let the Spirit of God continue to guide you and direct you. Amen. Pray for Brother Dan as he goes to the prison tomorrow night. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be on him and upon those men there. That's a place where the Spirit of God, there's a spirit there. And the Spirit of God needs to break through and move in that place. So pray that that would take place. Amen. Brother Matt, you close us with prayer tonight, please. Amen, amen. God bless you, folks. Enjoy some fellowship. Before you leave, see.